Hello and welcome to Agents of Narrative. This is the second interview episode. I'm Damien Gibson, and today we have an interview with Melbourne artist Emily Hurtevant. I hope I haven't butchered that, Emily, if you're listening to this. We had a really nice laid-back chat about her work and just art in general in my office in Melbourne last week, the 1st of December, off the top of my head. And it was really nice. And then had dinner with her partner, Lucas, my partner, Callie, afterwards. It was a really nice night, but it started with this conversation. So let's get into that now, and I'll catch you afterwards.
And you're cut if I'm terrible.
Yeah,
I'll please do.
I'll let that answer. What is Chinese ink?
Ah, did you see that on my website or something?
Yeah, I do research.
I think it's when I was writing about me doing Chinese calligraphy, I believe. Maybe I put that on, which is something that I was doing when I was at uni. I took like some calligraphy classes, and that was a lot of fun, a lot of discipline to know how to do it. And then I quit at some point because, I don't know, I just wanted to do something a bit different. So I just did that for like a year or something.
Right.
But it's just calligraphy, basically.
Yeah. So what do you study with calligraphy? Like in your bio, on your website, it says that you study calligraphy. So when you're studying calligraphy...
It's very much like the methodology of knowing, you know, how you position your arm and how you use the brush, how you put the ink on the paper and all of that. So, yeah.
But is there a history to that? Because you were studying in France, is there, like, do you learn about how we started writing? Like, do you learn about that?
No, it was just the practice of knowing how to do calligraphy. It was not like history or anything like this. It's like learning how to draw, for example.
So it was all practical.
It was just practical. Yeah.
And has that had any influence in the kind of work that you're doing now?
I think it helped me to be a bit more disciplined about how I paint, maybe. It was a lot of things about breathing, how you position your body, as I said, your arm, and it's actually very meticulous the way you need to be able to do that. A lot of people, you look at it and people might think, oh, it's actually very simple, but it's not at all. It takes like years of practice to be good at it. And I think it's like anything. Some people, you know, they learn very quickly and they're just good at it straight away, and some people are not. I don't think I was at all. But yeah, I did that when I was at uni. But it was not about history at all. I studied history, but not about Chinese calligraphy.
Yeah.
It was just practice.
I was going to ask you about that as well, because obviously in your bio it says that you studied art history. And does that, like, so were you already painting and then went and studied art history? Or was it a thing where it's like, well, I want to study something artsy?
Yeah, and it was more that I was doing a bit of painting before. I started painting when I was maybe 15 or something.
Right.
So I was definitely interested in art. I was doing some drawing classes as well. But I was very much like, all right, I'm going to go to uni, and what topic am I going to pick? So I was like, oh, I'm interested in history, art history. So I'm just going to take this, not thinking like too far ahead, just like, oh, this is something I'm interested in, so why not? And that was awesome. That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
So when you're, you know, like I didn't study music or anything like that, but you just take an interest in, you know, how certain bands or artists become the people that they are.
Yeah.
Does that tend to happen when you're studying art history and then you get more into a particular artist and that has an influence on what you're painting at home, for example?
I don't think it has. I think it's more like giving you to me it was more giving me like just knowledge and, you know, some general culture of different painters. But I think they were like painters I absolutely loved, like day one, and it hasn't changed because I studied other painters. It was just always the same painters that I loved,
yeah,
and always some painters that, like, not I didn't care about, but didn't do much for me. I don't think it has changed what I like and what I didn't like day one, even now.
Right. Who were those painters that?
Absolutely loved Monet, like since day one, and it's so different from what I paint. But yeah, I was like, oh, it's beautiful. I went to the Orangerie in Paris, you know, where you have all those nymphaeas for like meters in this massive, like it's like an oval room, and you have all the nymphaeas. It's just, it's magical. It's I can't tell you why I love it so much, but just it's really beautiful. So I love everything he did. Like, he literally spent his life trying to catch the light when he was painting. Like, yeah, can you do that? You know, it's unbelievable. Definitely Monet. Definitely Soulages. And I think Soulages is more close to maybe my colors.
Monet, yeah.
But, yeah, I love Soulages. Like, everything that he does. Beautiful. Who else? Franz Klein. Definitely.
Right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Vasily Kandinsky was probably my first love. Again, very different from what I do. Mm. But first time I see that, I was like, I'm going to start painting.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because doing a little bit of study at the moment and doing film studies, I'm kind of the same. Like, there hasn't... It's sort of, if anything, solidified the filmmakers that I loved beforehand, like Kubrick, Altman, you know, those kind of, like, the auteurs, Truffaut, like that kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah, Truffaut.
Yeah. And if anything, it turned me off certain artists.
Yes.
You know. But yeah, that I haven't. Yeah, it's interesting how university does that, especially arts uni.
Yeah.
Because when I started, especially that cinema course, I was like, oh man, I'm going to learn so much about cinema, and I can't wait. I'm going to discover all these, and I'm almost at the end of it. And I'm pretty much like, I watch Kubrick and Altman films.
So
that's
much.
It.
Yeah, exactly. There is a difference between what you learn and what you feel. You know, it's like you can learn about so many different artists, but at the end of the day, like for me, it's like most of them, even if I like it, it doesn't necessarily touch me the same way that some artists do. And this, you know, that was that day one, but still that now. And I'm sure in 10 years it will be the same. I just love the same artist and that's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's not many at the end of the day.
You know? Yeah. It's interesting. Like, it's really interesting that that sort of structured learning doesn't allow you to do that. But with music, I'm constantly discovering new people all the time. Yeah. It's probably because no one's telling me to listen to it, and I have a real problem with authority. Do you do anything else while you're painting? Like, do you listen to music or anything like that, or is it must be silence?
So I used to. Listen to a lot of music while I was painting. But now that I'm in this studio, that I'm not painting at home anymore, I'm not listening to any music. And I kind of prefer that, actually. I just like the silence. At the start, it was a bit weird. I was like, something feels like it's missing.
Mm.
But I think it's much better. It doesn't influence what I'm doing, and I can focus much more when I don't listen to something.
Yeah, right.
So now I don't listen to anything. But I used to listen to, you know, dramatic, like My Chemical Romance. Very loud at home when I was painting. But now I feel like it's a distraction if I listen to something.
Yeah, that's really
so
interesting.
Just quiet. And it works fine.
Have you found that's had any impact on the way that you're painting at all?
I think I just focus a lot more on what I'm doing. And I step back more and I'm literally looking at what I'm doing. While when I had the music, I feel like maybe it was a bit more chaotic in what I was doing. But who knows? Maybe, you know, later I will feel like listening to music, but this hasn't come yet. I'm happy with the silence at the moment.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Not to sound like an immigration officer, but why did you come to Australia, and what made you stay?
I moved with my ex-boyfriend.
Right.
I didn't want to move. I was like, I'm good in Paris. Like, my life is in Paris. Why would I move the other side of the world? You know, learn a different language and all
of
that.
Why would you live in Paris when you can come to Melbourne?
I know, right? So I didn't want to move, but then he got a job here and I was like, okay, let's do it. And right. In my mind, I was like, I'm staying here 2 years maximum.
Right.
Then things happened, we broke up and stuff. And then I actually realized I love living in Melbourne.
Mm.
It's great. I love the lifestyle. I love the people. So yeah, I'm happy here.
Was there, as far as your art was concerned, because Melbourne is quite, for Australia anyway, is quite an artistic hub.
Yeah.
Was it easier? Do you think it was easier to stay in Melbourne rather than if you had moved to even Sydney or Brisbane?
I think it would be very different because I think Sydney is great for art as well. At the end of the day, you know, and people might disagree with me, but I think the biggest galleries are in Sydney. Sydney are where people buy the most art. Let's face it. Even if Melbourne is really good, I think Sydney is still a little step ahead of Melbourne, a bit more dynamic. If I was going to Brisbane or another city, I think it would be very quiet. But that said, we're in Brunswick, and Brunswick is awesome. It's full of artists, studios everywhere. So it kind of it motivates. You know, you're already in this kind of atmosphere of you're in this little bubble where, you know, people paint, people sing, people draw, people. So yeah, you're like, oh, I feel like I'm part of something maybe.
No, I get that. I've had that before playing in bands and stuff like that. It feels like you're part of a mini,
little ecosystem in itself. And it feels like in Melbourne, people are maybe a bit more open-minded. Like, you can do anything. No one is going to be like, oh, what are you doing? You know, it's like, you feel like you're a bit more free than maybe somewhere else.
Yeah.
I like that.
And were you painting the whole time? Or was it something that you sort of put on hold?
No, I didn't. I definitely put that on hold when I moved to Australia. Because I think when I moved to Australia, I put pretty much everything on hold. Because I was like, I'm there for 2 years. Like, the only thing I wanted to do was kind of visit the country because I was like, in 2 years I'm back home. Yeah. So, but I was like, I'm not going to start painting. I don't want to meet necessarily people. I don't want to, go to the gym. I don't want to do anything. Right. That didn't work that way at the end. But, and then I started painting. I don't know. One day I was like, I got my place in Elwood and I had this second bedroom and I was like, I think let's start again. So I just used this room as my little studio.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, put, some canvas, some paint and let's do it.
And because you work predominantly in black and white, was that something that happened here or was that something that you've always been?
No, at the start I was painting with, I tried all different colors, I think all different style. Even when I started painting here, it was very colorful.
Right.
Very different from what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe with the series Decay and Renewal that I've started when was that? 3 or 4 years ago. I was doing an exhibition at the City Library in Melbourne and I was like, okay, maybe I need to be a bit more consistent with my style. And I just started with this black, white, dark gray, those kind of colors.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I think I like that. And I think that's how it started really. And that what made sense for me. I was like, okay, I feel like there's something here. Maybe it's my style after all.
Yeah, I found my palette.
Yeah, exactly. Takes a while, and I was like, no, I think that's me.
Yeah.
And it's been that since then. And now I paint I have some of my painting. It's just black. But so many different blacks, though. I mean, it's not just one color. But people could argue black is not a color, but whatever.
Yeah, let's not get into that debate here. Yeah. That's,
but yeah, I love it. Now I found my style, I guess. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's going to change at some point or what, but at the moment I love doing that. Black and white, just black. I tried just white, it doesn't work for me.
Right. Do you think that had something to do with, I have this theory about music from Britain is the reason why music in Britain is so good, but always has this sort of backbone of sort of quiet desperation is the weather. Like mm-hmm. it's so omnipresently yep. grey and cold and like, and it's so much a part of your life when you live yep. there. Like it really affects on how you get to work and blah, blah, blah. So I wonder like if maybe the Melbourne's weather can be like that for about 6 months of the year. Mm. Maybe that helped, or was it just something that...
I don't know what happened, but and that's the thing I found with black. Like a lot of people think that, oh, she painted with black. It's very sad. You know, we in our culture, we have this with this idea that black is a color about sadness or depression, those kind of things.
Mm.
In other cultures, it's totally different. It's not, it doesn't have this connotation. Okay.
Right.
But to me, it's not that at all. I don't think it's, I mean, I'm not depressed, yeah. but I don't think this color is about depression or sadness. I think this color is for me the most interesting thing that I can get out of a, you know, paint basically. I don't think I can do the same with blue. I can't do that with yellow or red or any other color.
Right.
So yeah,
that's so it's more about impact rather than making a emotional
yes,
statement.
I think so. Okay. I think so. Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, it's absolutely not sad. I think Andy asked me not too long ago. He was like, "Why black? Are you okay?" I was like, "Totally fine."
That's great continuity, Emily. Yeah, that's the first interview episode with Andrew McClellan. That's our mutual friend Andy.
That was a great interview.
Once you finish listening to this episode, go and listen to the Andy one. Thank you, Emily. That's brilliant. I didn't tell that.
But yeah, to me, black is it's just the more interesting color.
Oh, it definitely is. That's the thing that I get taken by your work is the starkness of the black and white. Yeah. It has
a light in black.
Yeah, yeah.
That
of course.
I can't replicate with anything else. So you know, it has. When I go to the art shop and I buy black paints, it's like you have carbon black, you have just black, you have ultra black, you have so many different black.
Yeah.
And when you put them on the canvas, you're like, oh yes, they're all very different. And I think that's what I'm trying to do at the moment, trying to put all these different black on the canvas to show how they articulate together and how they're just different and how they can work together. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's more. I think you are. With the you mentioned earlier that you found some themes to work through. Does a theme come first? And then you start painting to that theme, or do you just get into the studio and start painting and start to see a theme running through
paintings? I think it's definitely, I start a few painting and then I'm like, oh, that's different. And I'm like, where does this come from?
Yeah.
And then I try to, if I enjoy it, I try to just follow the same pattern and see what happens. I think that's what happened with landscape. And landscape definitely started after we went to Iceland with Lucas. When I came back, I started doing some landscape. I was like, oh, because when I paint, I kind of like let it go. So I don't really know what I'm going to do. It's not like I start painting and I'm like, I have a picture in my mind. Usually I don't, especially when I start a new series. So I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. It's not something I thought I was going to do. So, and then that's how it started. And with the Abyss, that was the same. I just put a lot of black in one day on this canvas, be like, let's try something a bit more abstract than landscape. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe there's something here. And I just try to replicate and try to work on it and maybe make it better, or maybe different every time.
Yeah.
Not necessarily better, but maybe a bit different. And see what happens until something else come up.
Right.
You know, or until I'm bored of doing it and then I try something else.
Right. So it's more of a stream of consciousness type thing.
I think, yeah, absolutely.
Than a plan.
Yeah, I never have a plan. Like, it's very rare. But the thing is, because I've been working on the same series for a while now, before I start, depending on the format of my canvas and of my mood, I kind of know what I'm going to do. I'm like, okay, this is going to be a painting for the abyss, or this is going to be a painting for landscape. Right. Sometimes it doesn't work. I'm like, oh, that's not what I was planning or thinking I was going to do. Which is great. I love that. I'm surprised by what I do sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's okay, cool. That's different.
Yeah. No, it's the same. It's the same picking up a guitar or even writing for me. There's been plenty of times where I've had a set idea of, like, I'm going to write about Batman. Yeah. Why I love Batman, you know? And then I finish and it's a 2,000-word article about sobriety. Or, you know what I mean? It's really serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important. Like, I hear about artists who will have, you know, like, there's a lot of rock musicians who will do this, where they're like, oh, I wanted to write a song about A, so I just sat down and wrote it.
Mm.
And, like, at the moment I'm watching that Beatles documentary, quarters of the world. And you just constantly see how things just appear to them.
Yeah, it clicks.
And it just reinforces, like, my whole life when I've heard musicians interviewed saying that's bullshit.
Yeah.
No way, like... No way. Yeah. There's no way that you sat down at a piano and was like, oh, well, I'm going to write, like...
And it just come.
Yeah, it must. It must. Like, I can't imagine... And even if they do, what a boring way to create
art,
right?
But that's the thing. I agree with you. It's like, why are you doing this to yourself? You know, it's not like you're not... It's like if the teacher... Like, your teacher is going to give you, like, a specific topic and you're going to need to write about this topic. But... Mm. When you're not, you can do whatever you want. Like, why would you do that?
You're the boss, man. Yeah. Like, just do whatever.
Exactly. Unless you have a commission and the person is like, it's exactly course, what I want. And but you need to also agree on that. Otherwise, it's like, just let it go. See what happens, you know?
Yeah. And I think when you do that, whether it's art or music, whatever the case may be, that's when you really, like, and you really, something really comes from within, whether it's your subconscious or your heart or whatever you want to call it, that's when it resonates with other people.
Yep.
You know?
Otherwise it's boring, as you said. It's like you're constantly doing the same thing over and over again, and for what purpose?
I feel like that comes through in art as well.
Well, there is also a part of if you know that this particular style sells quite well, you know, you might be tempted to just paint the same thing or something a bit different but still the same style, because there is that as well, right? But you need to be okay with that, I guess.
I mean, I just mean, like, the germ of, like, when you actually, you know, pick up a paintbrush or a guitar or whatever, like, it just feels like I can't imagine anyone setting aside, like, with writing, like, learning how to write, you get a lot of advice of, like, okay, so the first thing you have to do when you wake up, even before you make a cup of coffee, sit down and write. You have to write 1,000 words. And you're like, about what?
Yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah, all I'm going to write is how pissed off I am about, like, I'll just write about
my coffee now.
Yeah, I'll be writing about coffee for 1,000 words every day for the rest of my life. Yeah. Like, it's just interesting, people's techniques to get them in front of whatever their particular, palette is, whether it's a guitar or
and
whatever.
Maybe it works for some people, but I feel like you put a lot of limitations to your own world if you do that. It's, like, why? I paint because I want to and I like it. It's, you know, it's like, that's it.
Yeah, it's really simple.
Don't tell me how I should paint.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, did anything positive come out of the pandemic lockdown for you?
I painted quite a bit during that time, to be honest, because I had time, you know. And I think I sold quite a bit of painting during this time as well, because people just buy art when they are, you know, by themselves at home and they have nothing to do. So that's been very good. That's been definitely good. And I think I think pandemic has changed quite a bit about galleries in Australia and online galleries. You know, online galleries just got crazy with pandemic and stuff, and I think that they're still going up.
Oh, really?
So yeah, they're doing really, really well. So I think it's also changing the dynamic of the market quite a bit. And yeah, for me it was great. I was just painting a lot more than I usually do, just because I had the time.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good.
And did it have any effect on the type of paintings that you were producing? Or no, not really.
Not really. It was just the same series that I was doing that I kept working on, and even now it's the same.
Mm.
Yeah, it hasn't changed my style or anything at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like people who had artistic tendencies were quite happy at times, like,
yes.
But wouldn't say it out loud,
yeah.
Because everyone was so upset,
yep.
About being locked down.
Absolutely.
It's been great, man. I'm just writing and playing guitar all day. Every day when I'm not doing that, I'm playing video games. It's
exactly.
The best.
Yeah. One of my courier told me that what he's delivering the most during pandemic were paintings, guitars, and bicycles. There were the three things.
I bought three guitars.
Oh, here we are.
You can see them behind you. I bought all three of those in during lockdown.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So yeah, you know.
That's
good. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really want to go through it again.
No.
You know what I mean? But if we look back on it, I was pretty productive. And I feel like everyone that, you know, we're friends with who are artistic, the vast majority of people had the same experience.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I have all... I mean, you don't have any excuse, right? When you're home, you have nothing to do. You're like, okay,
yeah,
let's do it.
And I feel like you're a pretty similar person to me in the sense of like, yeah, you might feel a bit down or a bit depressed or something.
Yeah.
But let's... And I don't want to dismiss people's mental health issues, but like, let's... For me personally, it's like, well... I want to do something that occupies myself.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah.
Rather than just sitting around watching
Absolutely.
Tiger King. That's when I will get depressed, if I'm watching a bunch of Hicks.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I'm with you. At the end of the day, I want to be like, okay, I've done something today. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm too, like, I'm probably too much the other way with that. So, like, I write long lists and I have task apps and they have to be ticked off.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well more organized than I am.
The endorphin rush you get when you tick one of those boxes, mate.
It's good.
Oh, it feels
so
good. Well, I don't drink or take drugs anymore, man. So this is the closest I get to ticking boxes. So in that bio as well, it says that your art incorporates a lot of ancient mythology.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what your favorite myth is?
I don't have any. So I didn't write this biography. I don't know where this thing came up from, this Gary who wrote it. I was like, you know what? People find a lot of people think they need to, you know, have some reference points and interpretation of your painting and stuff.
Right.
But most of the time I'm like, this thing is just like sugarcoating around, you know, what I'm doing.
So this is Gary's interpretation of your painting.
Yes.
So really I should be asking Gary what his favorite myth is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. More than me, because I have no idea. Well, it's like every time someone asks me, oh, so tell me about this painting. But my problem is my paintings are more like, I just love painting. It's more the process than the result, really.
Yeah.
I just have to paint. That's it. And I'm happy about the result. But then I move on and I make another one. And then I make another one. So when someone asks me to explain to them my painting, I'm like, I really don't know what to tell you. Like, you tell me what you think it is. And... fine.
Yeah, I had a similar thing recently, again, at uni, where I had to take poetry as an elective. So I had to write a lot of poetry. And the great thing about that is that, I mean, there are some rules, but really there are
no rules.
And you can write whatever the hell you want. And a lot of mine was quite surrealist because it was just fun to do that for me, like to play around with words. And a similar thing would be, you know, it, like teachers would ask you to explain what the...
Yeah.
poems are about when you were handing them in. I had no idea.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Or
you
would like,
you.
You'd read them out in class and people would be like, oh, that's about blah, blah, and blah, blah. You're like, oh,
cool.
Like, I feel like that's about your dad. I'm like, well, you're probably right.
You're
but
right.
that's not what I was thinking about when
it.
I wrote it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always very, very difficult. And people kind of like expect you to explain to them what they see and like, I don't know, like, there's no explanation. Is do you like it or you don't? You know, it's more like what you feel about it, and that's it. I can tell you how I made it. I can't tell you what it is about.
Do you think people search for subtext because they want to come across like they understand art?
Yeah, especially with abstract. And I think it's like, I think with most of abstract artists, like, don't give me this kind of bullshit of like, you're going to explain to me for an hour where this thing comes from and why you use those colors and stuff. Come on, it's abstract. You just let it go and you paint. This come maybe from your past or from what you feel or whatever.
Mm.
And that's it, you know? And if people like it, they're probably not going to ask you to explain what it is. They will just like it for what it is, and that's it. And they'll be happy with that. But I hate trying to explain a painting.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, nah.
I think there'll be a lot of people who'll find that really refreshing to hear an artist saying that about, especially an abstract artist. Like, oh, fuck, thank Christ.
Yeah, I think it's just wanker.
There's nothing to get. It's just nice to look at.
I'm sure a lot of people will be like, no, I totally disagree. And it's totally fine to disagree with what I'm saying. Totally fine. But I think for a lot of people, it's maybe a selling point as well. And yes, that I don't want to explain my painting. That's why I don't give really a title to any of my painting as well. I just give a number or the name of the series and here you go.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No, I think that's good. It's nice to have some demystifying of art because it shouldn't necessarily be... Like, you can be high art, but also be accessible.
Yeah, for everyone.
You know, it doesn't need to be... I feel like a lot of art, whether it's music or art, whatever the case might be, I think there's a lot of artists who enjoy shutting the gate.
Oh, absolutely.
To use, you know, some new vernacular.
Yeah.
I just think that's bullshit.
I agree with you.
Don't you want everyone to enjoy...
That's it.
...what you're doing?
Yes.
You know? Like,
yeah. I think it's also a business at the end of the day, you know? And I think a lot of old-fashioned gallery, you know, whatever you want to call that, was very much like, we are exclusive. We know what is good. We know what is not good. And everyone, we are the reference for everyone. And you
right.
And if you don't know about art, you cannot appreciate this type of art. This is bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just everyone, I believe, like something or don't like something. It's like music or movies. You like it or you don't. Fine, no matter who you are, and you move on.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of people who will breathe a sigh of relief hearing an artist saying that about art.
Yeah, and genuinely. And now with internet, you know, and all of that, I mean, people have a lot of exposure as well of art in general, of paintings or drawing, whatever it is. And people make their own opinion of what they like, what they don't like. They don't need anyone else to tell them, you know. You don't have to have a master degree to appreciate something or don't appreciate it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with it. How have you found Australians in regards to art and being an artist compared to, say, France?
A lot more open-minded, I found.
Oh, really?
Yeah, France is very conservative in a lot of ways. Then I think Australia is a bit different. I think it's much not as judgmental, you know, and a lot easier to be an artist in Australia. I don't feel like there is a bit of networking, obviously, but you don't need to be, you know, I don't know, the daughter of someone, the son of someone, or have this friend or come from this school as much as in France.
Yeah, wow.
That's how I see it.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, it's more free, I feel. Like.
It's the first thing I've heard in a long time that's made me feel a little bit proud about being in Australia.
Oh, yeah, it's, that's how I feel about it. Look, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's maybe easier.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
really
cool.
I think it's easier.
I did not expect you to answer that that way. I 100% thought you were like, well, you know, it's a pretty, pretty people are pretty you know, blunt in Australia.
It's not, maybe not as dynamic than what you would have in France, because you have more artists maybe and more galleries, etc. But in a lot of ways, I think it's, you're more free when you're an artist in Australia than in France.
Right.
I think you don't have to follow a trend or, again, be in this little circle, you know. It's just nice and, I mean, I was going to say easy. It's not that easy. It's a lot of work. Yeah. But if you're willing to do it, you can do it. That's what I mean. It's not like impossible. Or sometimes in France, I feel like it's, no matter how work you do, you know, on something, it's, you just can't get there the same way.
Right, yeah.
Then here it's, yeah, you can.
That's great.
I can only compare with France, though. Maybe different countries, you know, it's different.
But I just, you know, you associate fine art with, I associate fine art with France so much. Mm. So I was expecting you to say, well, you know, you guys are a bunch of bogans, but it's, it's a very beautiful country. And, you know, I found a very nice husband out here, so it's fine.
Yeah,
but,
he's great.
You know, at some point, it would be nice to get back to France. I didn't expect you to go, no, it's way better.
I was thinking that not too long ago. I was like, not that I'm going to go back to France whatsoever, but I thought, imagine going to France and thinking of, I mean, of course I could paint, no problem, but thinking of selling my painting, like, how do I do that in France? Mm. I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Here you can contact galleries and people are open to talk to you, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just...
That's great.
I
really like hearing
more
that.
More open-minded. Definitely. In France, people will be like, okay, so did you study art? Where did you study art? What, you know, it's a lot of like background that you need to come with. And
yeah, right.
It's the same with a job or anything really
yeah.
in France. But yeah, it's like you need to prove yourself a lot before they even consider looking at what you do.
That's bizarre.
I believe, but yeah.
Are there some contemporary artists that you're into at the moment? Like some Australian artists that we could check out, or anyone of any description? Or is it just Monet? That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I very much like Monet. you know, that's going to sound terrible, but I try to not look at what other artists do, because I try not to be too influenced by what other people do. There are definitely, you know, artists that I follow on Instagram, but and I see some trends that are very different from mine, you know, everything is very colorful, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But I won't say I have like one favorite artist where I'm like, oh, I absolutely love what this person does.
That was my conversation with Emily Hertzavant. I always feel like a bit of a dickhead trying to pronounce things in French. But I also didn't want to butcher it with my Australian accent. It was a really nice conversation. And I really enjoyed having Emily on. Hopefully maybe we can have her back on at some point. When she's conquering the art world. You can find all of Emily's stuff at emilyhertzavant.com. That is emilyhertzavent.com. I'll put it in the show notes as well. You can just click on the link. We've got... I will have a new episode of the review episode where I kind of just... talk at you about things that I love. I'm going to do an end of year top things podcasts because they always do really well. I'm trying desperately to get people to listen to this podcast. And also I love making lists because, yeah, I'm just that kind of guy. We've managed to enter some charts, in the last month, and, you know, it is literally just me with a Tascam recorder and a couple of lav mics going around and interviewing people and then just putting all of this together in my little home office. So for people to be listening to it and passing it on to other friends, I know I must be doing something right when friends of mine are actually listening to it and telling me that they enjoy it without me asking. So it's always a good sign. But thank you so much, because I don't advertise this. I don't have the money to do that. You may hear some ads coming up from a friend of mine, David, his beer podcast called The Cool Room, which I actually helped start with him. I'm going to maybe do some cross-promotion on each other's podcasts. So prepare yourself for that. Pretty exciting. Just trying to get the word out there more. So if you find it annoying, you can just skip through. But anyway, thank you for listening this far in. You are one of the hardcore, and I appreciate that. I think that's pretty much all I need to tell you. You can follow us on social media. I am terrible at updating our social media, particularly Instagram. I apologize for that. I don't really like taking my own photo or photos in general, so that kind of defeats the purpose of Instagram, but I will try. I'll try and do more. But look, that's it. I don't have anything else to really ear bash you about. That's what the review podcast is for, where I can ear bash you for 45 minutes about all the stuff I love. But just get prepared, because I've watched 11 hours of Get Back in the last week. And I've got some thoughts. They're all good. So it'll just be me talking about how much I enjoy Get Back for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, we'll see. Do a minute-by-minute commentary off the documentary. I wonder if anyone's done that. Maybe I should try and do that. Anyway, I should probably get a job so I stop doing wasting my time doing things like commentary tracks for 10-hour documentaries. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate you guys. If you can tell friends or family members who you think might be into this, that'd be great. But if you don't and you just listen, that's also cool as well. But until I've got some really great guests lined up for the next couple of months as well, so stay tuned for that. I probably won't talk to you guys. I will talk to you one more time before Christmas. Or it might be after Christmas. I've made up my mind. Either way, if you don't hear from me, have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you soon.